Jesus tells a story about a woman who really needed something. And in fact, she was quite desperate. She needed it really bad. And day after day, she went to a judge to ask for what she needed, to plead her case. And the judge said no and no and no. But finally, the judge gave her what she wanted. And so I'm going to read that story. It's in Luke chapter 18. It says this: "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus said, 'In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with her plea, "Grant me justice against my enemy." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And Jesus said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Even this bad judge, who didn't really care about people, didn't care about doing the right thing, even this bad judge, after a while, he gave the woman what she needed. And God, or Jesus is saying, God is not like that bad judge. God actually cares about us. He loves to give us what we need. He loves to hear our requests and answer our prayers. And so we can be thankful about that. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you do care about us. You care about what we need. You care about what's best for us. We pray that we would remember that, and that when we are in need, moment by moment, that we would come to you with our concerns, with our worries, with our needs. And we thank you that you hear us, that you help us, and that you care about us, that you've even given us your Son, Jesus. We pray for our children. We pray you bless them and their teachers during their time together. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So Jesus tells his followers a story. And he's quite clear about why he's telling this story. Verse 1 says, he tells a story to remind them of their need to pray, to not lose heart or despair or give up. When we read this story, I chuckle. I heard Pastor Stu chuckling a little bit at this parable. The characters are great. There's a selfish judge who doesn't care about doing the right thing. And there's the stubborn widow who refuses to take no for an answer. The woman is absolutely shameless. Jesus doesn't go into great details about what she was doing, but she refuses to give up. She continues to badger the judge until she gets what she needs. In fact, the Greek, which is translated, "she's going to wear me out," is literally, she's going to give me a black eye. She's striking me in the face. She's battering me. And the judge eventually caves. He finally concludes, I don't have the patience for this. I'm just going to give her what she wants and get rid of her. You know, I don't typically have that kind of persistence. In fact, I really, really, really dislike asking for help. That's probably a guy thing, I know, but it may apply to women as well. But I hate to inconvenience people. I hate to admit as well that I can't do something on my own. I like to be self-reliant. Recently, I was forced to ask for help, to plea for help, and it literally made me sick to have to do so. It wasn't before a judge, thank goodness, but the situation still made me sick. Becky and I, we manage a property in Kelowna that we've tried to unload. We haven't been able to unload it, so we're renting it out. And it's in a strata. It's in a fourplex. And we needed a new roof. And in our unit specifically needed a new roof. We had some water problems that were threatening to become a big problem if we didn't get a new roof. The problem is we only own one of the units. And so our unit was the one suffering the worst. And I was terrified that if we didn't deal with this, especially before winter, that we were going to be in serious, serious trouble. So I approached the strata, and I strongly presented the case for a new roof. Essentially said, you know, we need to do this. We're going to be in trouble. Two of the other units had no problems with leakage. I mean, they're just fine. One of the other units had some minor issues. So the other owners were not nearly as motivated to correct this problem as we were. Nevertheless, two of the owners were willing to come along with us to replace the roof, but one owner flatly stated they weren't going to do it. They didn't have the money. And this put us in an awkward situation. There's no way that we were going to make this a legal matter. That's just not an option. We couldn't put off the roof without risking turning our property into a swimming pool. And so I was forced to persist, to keep asking for help, to push for a resolution. And thankfully, after a few stressful days, we were able to come to a resolution and make arrangements to get the roof done. In that situation, I had to confess, we're in trouble here. Something needs to be done. And no wasn't a good enough answer. As much as I didn't want to deal with the conflict, I was forced to persist because no wasn't going to work for us. Little children, they know how to be persistent. My daughter's just hitting the terrible twos this week. And if they want something and you catch them at the wrong time, they can be holy terrors. I actually had my daughter, I had to watch her one of these mornings. My wife was with my son, and I brought my daughter into work, never a good idea. And I was up in my office, and she got to the point where she was just done being in daddy's office. So before the meltdown actually broke out, I thought, I'll just take her out. Now's the time. She's gone long enough. And so I brought her downstairs, and she was already getting grumpy. And I got to the car, and I had my hands full carrying my daughter, carrying her toys, carrying my stuff. And I got to the car, and she's at this point, she's done. She's melting down. And I realized, oh no, I left my car keys in my office. And it's in the middle of the day here at Rocky. There's classes going on. There's you know, it's quiet. It's a study environment. So I'm thinking, I got to run all the way back up to the third floor. I can't just leave my daughter outside. I have to carry her upstairs. She's going to scream the whole way past the classroom and then scream the whole way back. So I thought maybe I could wait it out. So I'm actually just in the entrance here trying to wait it out for 10 or 15 minutes. Maybe she'll call down. And finally I decide, okay, I'm pulling out the phone. Pastor Stu's in his office. And this, again, I hated asking for help. I hated to admit I'm a bad parent. I can't I can't call my daughter now. So I had Stu bring me my keys because I didn't want to disrupt the whole college. I tried to be a good parent. I tried to do what's right for my children. And so that often means saying no. No, you can't have another cookie. Eat this carrot instead. No, you can't help me stir the soup. The stove is too hot. My daughter's favorite phrase these days is, no, my do it. And she'll get mad trying to do something that's difficult, like putting on a shirt by herself. And I'll try to help her. You know, she's got the thing stuck on her head and she's screaming. And I'll try to help her and she'll say, no, my do it. And pull away. But then she'll keep screaming because she can't get the shirt over her head. So it's a no-win situation. If my kids catch me at the right time, I cave. I'm weak, just like the unjust judge in Jesus' story. I don't want to deal with a 30-minute tantrum. So I throw my hands up and say, fine, do it your way. Eat the cookie. It's not worth my sanity. This woman, she was relentless. She wouldn't keep quiet. And so the judge, who really didn't care about her, he grants her requests just to get her off his back. I don't know what she was doing. I don't know if she was posting bad things about this judge on social media. I don't know if she was, you know, performing sit-ins in front of his office, wearing a big billboard, getting in the newspapers. I don't know if she was spamming his inbox, leaving endless voicemails. But whatever she was doing, she was making a nuisance of herself and causing the judge all sorts of grief. And the story, as I mentioned, it says directly why Jesus says, or the story tells us directly why Jesus told this story. It's told that so that the disciples would remember their need to pray always and not lose heart. It's told so that Jesus' followers, you and me, would be reminded to pray always and never lose heart. And at the end of the story, Jesus actually says something quite foreboding. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? When Jesus returns, will there be a people who are living by faith, seeking God's help and direction, dependent on God's Spirit, persistently seeking after him? Well, what's the reality today? Is that a genuine concern? We know how easy it is. I know how easy it is for me to lose heart, to despair. We all get impatient. Like me, perhaps we don't like admitting that we need help. We can't do this on our own. We stop praying. We fail to see the benefit, or we lack the time. You know, we'd rather just do something than stop. It doesn't really feel very productive. We stop seeking God's empowering presence, and instead we go it alone. Instead of admitting that we don't have the solution, that we can't fix the mess of our world, or even our own lives for that matter, and seeking the help that God provides, we blindly stumble along, hoping we can fix things on our own. By and large, has the church stopped praying? You know, you can have external rituals and motions of prayer without truly praying. We know that those of us who grew up and being taught to pray at meal times, prayer can just become a ritual. And it's just empty words if it doesn't involve truly waiting on the Lord, or relying and depending on God's voice, God's help, and God's direction. What are the symptoms in the church and in our lives when we stop praying, when we stop seeking the Lord? I think they're readily seen. In our gatherings, we can be more about convenience and comfort than about sincerity and seeking the presence and power of God. If you look at how churches market themselves today, perhaps we see some of this. We talk about being in and out in under an hour, a service under an hour. We focus on the things that we provide, whether it be gourmet coffee or excellent music or childcare, engaging and inspiring messages. Individually, where are the symptoms? Perhaps we place more hope in finances and in the economy than in God's plan. Recently, of course, you've probably all been aware of the United States and their politics and the government shut down for 2 weeks. Thankfully, the world didn't end when Congress closed its doors for 2 weeks. I know we were all worried. But what about us? Has the church shut down? Have we stopped doing the very thing that we are called to do? This week, I came upon, one of my friends shared with me an ancient story that speaks, I think, to the contemporary church as well. I'm not sure if it's a legend or if it actually happened, but either way, I think it speaks truth. It's a story about the 13th century theologian, St. Thomas Aquinas, and he entered the presence of Pope Innocent II, who was counting a large sum of money in the Vatican. The Pope looked up at Aquinas and said, "Look, the church no longer has to say with St. Peter, 'Silver and gold I have none.'" Thomas immediately replied, "True, Holy Father, but neither can she still say, 'In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.'" When we put our confidence in our own abilities, our own resources, we cut ourselves off from the presence and power of God available to us. I think that's one of the things that's come out clearly in this vision series, in the message also that Pastor Heather Liebenberg shared with us. When we put our confidence in our abilities and our resources, we cut ourselves off from the presence and power to God available to us. Have we lost heart? Have we stopped praying? Faith isn't something we drum up. It's not about trying harder. It's simply an acknowledgement that our hope is in God alone, that apart from God, we are hopelessly and helplessly lost. Faith is humility that opens us to rejecting self-reliance. Instead, moment by moment, saying, God, we need you. Help us, guide us, shape us. You know, we like to quantify it. We say, well, how much prayer is enough? And really, this is not about the amount of prayer, the amount of time spent in prayer, as it is about a moment-by-moment attitude of reliance upon God. It's recognizing that apart from God, we can do nothing. And this is where it begins and ends for us as the people of God. Perhaps, after hearing this message, after reflecting on our own life, even our church and what we do, we feel battered, realizing just how much we miss the mark. For me, I know this scripture cuts to the heart. But the point of the story isn't to make us feel bad. It's not to induce guilt or shame so that we try harder. The point of the story, let's not miss out on it, the point of the story is the good news. Even an unjust judge grants this widow's request, if only to get her off his back. But Jesus is not saying that God is like this unjust judge. God is not one that has to be berated and badgered until he begrudgingly hears our requests. No. God is good, and he delights to grant justice to his chosen ones who are willing to receive it. The Father that Jesus reveals to us is the one who welcomes little children, who runs to greet the prodigal son, who longs for our companionship, who delights to take care of our needs, who has withheld nothing, not even his most precious son, to ensure our well-being. If you go through the other stories before and after this one, they're all about just recognizing that our help is found in God. There's a story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the Pharisee, you know, prays the self-righteous prayer, God, thank you that I'm not like these other people. And the tax collector just prays, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The story after that is the story of the little children who are coming for Jesus to bless them. And Jesus says, whoever receives the kingdom of God like a little children is blessed, and that we need to just admit that we need help, like a child comes to you and says, I need help, and is willing to receive help. We don't have to go it alone. We can go with God, and God will go with us. I wonder what our hopes and dreams are. What are our hopes and dreams? What are our prayers that we are so striving so hardly towards, working so hard towards, worrying about, anxious about? You know, we pray that God will meet our needs, that God will provide food for our table, a roof over our heads, clothes for our body, that we would have health, that we would have peace. We pray that God would protect our children, that they would discover the hope to which they are called. We pray that God would set us free from our sin, our selfishness, that we might love like he loves, so that we could be faithful friends, loving spouses, godly parents, and good neighbors. That we would have strength to remain faithful, to resist the pressure, to conform, to give up. Let us not lose heart. Let us continue to encourage each other on towards love and good deeds, remembering that God is faithful. No matter what our circumstances, he will never leave us or forsake us. We can trust in his promises. Today, just in light of our church, our future, even the decisions we're making as a congregation, we're going to come to the Lord together and spend time in prayer. And I've asked the worship team to come and to lead us in the song, simply the contemporary version, the new version of I Need You. And in this song, the message is that we can find help in God, that his resources are available to us. What we really need, what we really long for, what we work so hard, what we worry about so much, work so hard towards and worry about so much, that God can graciously help and grant us what we need. And so with that spirit, we come to the Lord in prayer, and Pastor Stu will be leading us. But let's sing that together.